Hey guys, welcome to the Anchored Hope podcast. I'm Pastor Mike, the lead pastor of Anchored Hope Church, and I hope that while you're listening today to our podcast, you can join us on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at 211 Boone Street. We'd love to have you. We hope that this message is encouraging to you, and we hope that you can also join us at our location at 211 Boone Street. Also, check out our Facebook page and our website, www.anchoredhope.church.
There we go. Unfortunately, there are a lot of people who felt just like that, who have felt like, you know, I want to believe, but I've had this thing happen to me, and I've been in prayer, and I'm having a hard time believing in this, you know, good Father, this God who has my best interests at this heart, this God who will never forsake me, this God who will always take care of me. I'm having a really hard time. I want to believe, but there's something that's keeping me from believing. And this is the new series that we're going to be in for the next 4 weeks and what we're going to be talking about, because a lot of us have been there ourselves, or a lot of us know somebody. We've got a neighbor or a friend or a coworker who, man, they want to believe. You know, when we hear about the God who saves and the God who changes lives and the God who transforms and the God who heals and the God who blesses, you know, there are so many things about just the philosophy of Jesus and what he teaches that we think, man, that's good stuff. I like Jesus. I like these things. I want to believe, but I've got this hang up. I've got this thing that's keeping me from believing and being all in. And I don't know. And for some people, you know, it's just they look at the world and they look at all the things, the scary things that happen in the world. And it's things that they can just view and they see every day in the news that keep them from believing. They go, you know, I want to believe, but I mean, how can a loving, just, caring God let these school shootings continue to happen? You know, I want to believe, but how can a loving Father in heaven allow all these hurricanes and earthquakes and fires and terrible things happen? I want to believe, but how can a loving God not let us find a cure to cancer? I want to believe, but there's just too many things in the world that keep keeping me from believing and being on it and really actually thinking that there's this God, there's this person in heaven who's all-knowing and all-powerful who won't stop these things. For others of us, it's a whole lot more personal than that. For others of us, it's, you know what, I want to believe, but there was this time where this loved one of mine, they got cancer, and I just couldn't believe that God didn't answer my prayers. I prayed harder than I had ever prayed. I prayed one of those prayers, God, if you would just, I would do this. And he still didn't care. He still didn't answer my prayers. You know, I want to believe. But I had that loved one die way sooner than they were supposed to die. I want to believe, but no parent should have to bury their child. And I can't believe he didn't spare that my child's life. He didn't spare my family member's life. He didn't help us in the middle while we were carrying that baby. I can't believe. I want to believe, but I can't because of this terrible experience that I had in my life. I want to believe, but I've just had too many bad things happen to me. There have been too many bad breaks. And I've prayed, and I've gone to church, and I've been faithful, and I've been obedient, and I just haven't seen these blessings that everybody keeps talking about. Because I've been laid off, and I've had bad things come my way, and I don't understand why God won't bless my kids the way he blesses those kids, and I don't understand why he couldn't keep my parents together, and I don't understand why he never sent me that true love, that one and only. He sent it for everybody else, but he never sent it for me, and I've been alone, and I've been torn up about it, and I've been left to do things on my own and take care of my kids on my own, and I want to believe so bad, but I can't. Because fill in the blank. And that's exactly what it is. I want to believe, but God didn't fill in the blank. Whatever it may be for you, whatever it may be for your family, whatever it may be for your neighbor or your friend, I want to believe, but God didn't do something. And I want to get down to the root of that from the start, because there's a root problem there. There's a root cause there, something's going on. And really, here's what we're saying when we say that. I want to believe, but God didn't do what I want. Right? That's the truth of it, you know? And that I know that already sounds maybe a bit like, oh, so you're putting it back on me. Just stick with me for a minute, okay? That's the root of the problem. I want to believe, but God didn't do what I want. I want to believe, but God didn't give me that promotion. I want to believe, but God didn't keep my parents together. I want to believe, but God didn't come through for me in the nick of time when I asked him to. I want to believe, but God didn't. And for some of us, that's the big hang-up. Is we believe in this, everybody talks about this God who blesses and transforms and he's a good, good father, but we just haven't seen it in our life. And I think part of the problem, how we've kind of got there and how we kind of, you know, a lot of our culture, they have this hang-up. A lot of people today, they don't want anything to do with God, they don't want anything to do with church, because in their life, they haven't seen a God who has been there for them. When they look at God and when they think of God, they think of a God who hates them, is what they think about. They don't see a God who cares about them. They think of a God who has left them out to dry, a God who has never taken care of them, a God who has never been there for them. And it just they haven't ever experienced it. It's never been real. And so we have this different opinion about God, that he either doesn't care or he's not present or he's not watching out for me. I don't know which it is, but I just feel like he hates me, is what it is. And I started thinking about what kind of got us here. Because really, what we've come down to is a lot of us in our culture, and us included, we've all been there before. We believe on this on-demand God who should do what we want when we want, right? We believe in this on-demand God who, when we pray, if he really cares, he should answer. We believe in this on-demand God that when I say skip, he does skip, right? When I pray, when I ask, when I'm faithful, he should do his part. He should give me what I want. And I was thinking about what got us here, you know? Why is this such a big issue in our culture today? Why is it that so many people deal with this and they feel this way? And I think there's two kind of people to blame, okay? The first one, though, is technology. Technology. How many of you remember that when you were going to watch Dallas on Sunday night, you had to be in front of your TV at 8 p.m., right? And if you weren't there at 8 p.m. to watch Dallas, you weren't going to get to see Dallas, right? And then after the episode was over, you had to wait 7 full days to know what was going to happen next. And if you missed who shot JR, you missed who shot JR. And after the season ended, you had to wait like 7 months to watch a single episode again, right? That's the way it used to be, right? If you were going to watch, here's your time to do amens in the sermon. If you were going to watch Mick and Morty, no. Okay, if you were going to watch The $6 Million Man, no. Wow, okay, we got a different crowd here, okay? If you were going to watch Charlie's Angels, now come on, Dan, help me out here. Okay, if you were going to watch MASH, never mind. This is not a relevant sermon, okay? If you were going to watch any of those shows, you had to be there in front of the TV to watch it. And if you weren't there, you missed it. And once it passed, it passed. Now, today it's a completely different story, right? Today it's totally different. My wife and I, man, we were reminiscing about the times last weekend on Memorial Day weekend. Because on Memorial Day weekend and Labor Day weekend, our activity that we did before we had kids was on Memorial Day weekend and Labor Day weekend, we would pick a show on Netflix and we would binge watch as much as we possibly could for the whole weekend. Like as soon as we got done with church on Sunday morning, it was going to be 48 hours of Netflix and Taco Bell. And we'd go to Taco Bell, we'd buy one of everything, we'd get a case of Mountain Dew, and we'd pick a show and we would binge watch. When we fell asleep, when we woke up, we'd start watching again. We wouldn't shower for like days. And it was the greatest thing ever before my children came. I mean, I used to look forward to that so, so much. But that was before then, you know. But we're able to do that now. We're able to, on demand, it's all about, you know, how do you want it? When do you want it? Well, we'll give it to you that way. I mean, today, with the way technology's set up and everything, I mean, if you want, they've gotten to the point now, I love this, it's Starbucks. If you don't want to wait in the line for 5 minutes, if you can't sit in the drive-thru for a few minutes, you can order from your phone and it will be ready for you. Like, you'll walk in the door and you can just grab it off of the shelf and run away with it. You don't have to wait anymore. You can watch anything on demand. You can binge watch things. You can find out what's going to happen. Everything is accessible to you. Have you ever made this mistake? This is how bad it's gotten. This is what I did the other day. I felt really bad. Have you ever tried to pause the radio recently? I did that. I was driving, and I got out of the car to go get the kids at school, and I thought, oh, this is a good conversation. I'm going to pause this. And I was like, oh, wait, I can't pause the radio. But that's what I'm so used to. I'm so used to having things the way I want it, be able to pause it at any time, play it at any time, however many times I want. My daughter doesn't understand the concept. We were listening to Joy FM the other day, and she was like, Daddy, play that song again. I was like, I can't. It's the radio. She's like, Daddy, I know things can play several times. Play it again, you know? But technology has done that to us. We live in a society and we live in a culture today where things are on demand anytime we want it. We can have it as fast as we want it. We can have it any way we want it. And we can get it any way we want it. But the other thing is this. Not just technology has been the problem, but the other thing is this. The church. The church has been the problem as well. Because for years, many churches have preached this gospel that all you have to do is have faith and be obedient, and God will give you whatever you want, right? For many years, many pastors, many churches, they still do it to this day, they preach this prosperity message that says that all you've got to do is be faithful, all you've got to do is pray without ceasing, all you've got to do is be obedient, and God will give you whatever you want. I've got these friends in Nebraska who struggled with having a child. And I'll never forget, he called me one day so upset. And I said, what are you upset about? What's going on? And he said, man, he said, I'm having a real hard time going to church now. Because he said, this lady walked up to us and she knew about our struggle to have a child. And she walked up to us and she said, you know, if you just had faith, God would give you a child. Something's wrong with you. You need to pray. There's some kind of sin in your life. There's something you're not doing. Are you tithing? Are you reading your Bible every day? Because there's something you're not doing. Because if you were doing what you were supposed to be doing, God would give you a child. And my heart broke for them. Because they're some of the most loving, generous, faithful people that I know in my life. But yet this person had the audacity. And I'll give her credit. She's only preaching what she's probably heard her pastor preach to her. But she preached this message that the problem is that you're not faithful enough. And some of you, that's probably been your hang-up, is somebody who's probably pushed you out of the church or hurt your feelings, or you've been really turned off to church and preaching and the whole deal with God because that's what somebody told you. You're not good enough yet is the problem. You're not behaving. You're not doing A, B, and C. You need to do all these things, and then God will bless you. Then God will look out for you. And what all of this does, technology and church, it creates this idea in our mind of this on-demand God that is here to serve us. But here's the thing. I've got to kind of break you of what you've been taught, okay? I've got to change your idea about what you believe about God because the truth is that you've been told wrong, okay? Because here's the thing. God is not here, does not exist to serve us. We exist to serve him, okay? God is not a genie in a bottle that you just got to rub the right way, all right? He is not a celestial sugar daddy. He is not a cosmic Coke machine. All right? It's not put in a couple prayers, get a blessing out. It's not God will you, God will you, God will you, God will you. All right? He's not this celestial sugar daddy in heaven that's just going, what can I do for everybody today? How can I help you? Everybody, tell me what you want. It's like that scene in Bruce Almighty where he's answering the prayer requests on his computer. It's just, you know, I want, I want, I want. And he just decides, you know, I'm just going to give everybody what they want. Go, boom, and chaos breaks out. That's not how God works. And that's not the reason why God exists. The problem is that we've created this view of God, that he is this on-demand God that is purely here for our pleasure. But that's not how it works. He is the creator, and we are the created. And the reason that he created us was not so that we could be served by him. He created us so that we could serve him. It's not the other way around. He's not there to just give us what we want. And there's a great scripture verse, a great story that Jesus told to his disciples on the side with them kind of alone that really kind of sums up this point, kind of gives us the best view of who God is and why he exists and why we have a relationship with him, because maybe that's what's on your mind right now. Okay, if God is not in a relationship with me to serve me and to take care of me, if that's not his primary concern, then what is his primary concern? And where do I fit in that? And why do we have a relationship with one another? Well, in John, Jesus tells us this great kind of analogy for who God is and how we fit in with him. And this is what it says. It says, I am the true vine, meaning the only one. I'm the true vine. I'm the only God. I'm the only way to ever get anything that you'll ever need or you'll ever want. So I'm the main source of life for you. I am the creator. And then he says, and my Father is the gardener. And this gardener, God, he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. Now, I'm not a gardener. I don't know how many of you are gardeners. I'm no gardener, okay? So I'm going to put this in terms that I and Wes will understand, okay? Here's my version of this verse. Totally made this up. Complete paraphrase from the Michael Davis translation of the Bible. My God is the master chef, okay? And he removes whatever is not necessary in the meat. And he seasons it properly so it tastes good. Does that translate to you, Wes? You and I as cooks? Okay, there you go, all right? Now, I can understand that because here's what would be completely insane. I would need to be put on medication if this ever happened. When I'm grilling on my Traeger grill provided by Heckler Hardware, I don't ever talk to my meat. That would be weird, okay? I don't ever talk to my meat and go, do you guys think I'm doing a good job? Do you guys need anything else? Should I season you more? Is now the time for you to be flipped? Just tell me when and I'll do it. No, I am the master chef, all right? I'm very good at it, I am. All right, so I decide what needs to happen. I decide how it needs to be seasoned. I decide what temp it needs to be cooked at. I decide when it needs to be flipped, when it's time for it to be taken off, when it's just right, because I'm the master chef. I know things that stupid meat patty doesn't know, okay? So I am the master chef, and I'm calling the shots here. It would be dumb for me to survey my meat and for me to listen to my meat's opinions. So if you ever see me talking to a burger patty, put me in the insane asylum, okay? Because that would be crazy. The same thing goes for you gardeners, right? Do any of you talk to your vegetables? No. Now, some hippies do, but that's still weird. Don't talk to your vegetables. You don't talk to your harvest. You don't talk to your plants. You don't talk to your vegetables. That's very, very odd. No, you do what's best for your vegetables. You want all your vegetables to make it. You want your garden to be great. And so you take out what needs to be taken and you add what needs to be added because you know things that your garden doesn't know. You know what the temp is. You know the weather that's coming. You know the conditions are right. You know when it's ripe and when it's not right. You are the gardener. Here's the thing. We argue with God like a meat patty would argue with the chef. We argue with God the way a vegetable would argue with the gardener. We look at him and go, can I tell you how you're not doing your job very well? And God looks at me and goes, you gotta be kidding. Because how in the world are we gonna argue with the gardener? He is the gardener. He is the true vine. He is the source of life. He's the one who created us and made us. And he's the all-knowing, all-being, Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end. Here's the point that I think Jesus is trying to make whenever we look at God. God is too magnificent for us to ever understand, for us to ever wrap our minds around. So when you're looking at God and going, I don't understand why God would allow these bad things to happen. I don't understand why God didn't answer my prayer. I don't understand why God just won't give me. Well, here's the thing. You're crazy if you think that you will ever be able to understand, because it's just impossible. Kate and I, when we were pregnant with Olivia, our first child, and we had the same conversation when we were pregnant with Braden. You know, we had the conversation that I think a lot of young couples do when we first start out, and I just thought, you know, let's have this conversation, let's just prepare, because I'm a game plan type of guy. But, you know, I asked Kate the question. I said, hey, I just want to know kind of how we're going to react, what we're going to do, but what if we lost one of the kids? What if we lost this child, you know, that you're pregnant with? what do we do? Because we had had many friends who had lost children and had miscarriages, and so, you know, we thought, what if? What do we do? And, you know, me, I'm the thinker, I'm the fixer, I want a plan, you know, I'm asking the doctor, is there any way that we can insure, is there an insurance policy on this baby, you know, something we can do to ensure everything's going to be okay? And there was no insurance policy, and I kept praying to God every day, God, just make sure my baby's healthy, make sure my baby's fine. But in the back of my mind, I kept thinking, okay, you're the pastor, so you've got to prepare for this more than anybody because you've got to be the example. What are we going to do if this happens? So I asked Kate the question, and my wife, you'll find out very quickly if you attend here long enough, she's the wise one of the group, okay? But I asked Kate, I said, what do we do if? She said, what do you mean, what do? We don't do anything differently. If it happens, it happens. Who knows why it would happen? Maybe it happened because there was a deformity, and you know what? Maybe it's God's blessing, or maybe just something goes wrong with my body, you know, and it just happens. Or maybe, you know, maybe the child does have a deformity, or maybe they, you know, have some kind of, you know, illness or something, and maybe they're born, and we take care of them for the rest of our life, and it's just different than we expected, you know? Or maybe we're not meant to have kids, or maybe we'll have eight of them. You know, who knows what's going to happen? But you know what? Whatever happens, happens. It doesn't change the fact that God has always had our back, that God has always been good to us, that God has plans and purposes for us, and things go wrong all the time in everybody's life. It's just part of the broken world that we live in. But I'm not even going to sit here with you in the car and try to think up why this would happen and what we're going to do if, because if it happens, it happens. Obviously, she's the wise one in the family, you know, because what her faith told her is that, you know what, God's ways and the way this world works, the way my body works, all the things that could happen, I can't sit here and try to worry about it or understand why God would do what he would do, why he blesses some people and why others, they don't get the same blessing. I don't understand because God's too magnificent for me to ever understand. So I'm not going to sit here and try to wrap my mind around it. Because it's just too big. And so here's the question we kind of all have to ask. Can you believe in the God you can't wrap your head around? Because he's the gardener. He's the chef. And I'm telling you right now, if you try to sit there and say, well, I want to believe, but I just want to understand the why, or why he didn't, or why won't he? Let me tell you something. You're going to always be frustrated then, because you will never completely understand God. Because you are nothing next to him. And that's not to make you feel bad. That's meant to humble you. And I think that's the first thing that anybody has to do once they enter into a relationship with God is understand that he is so magnificent and you are so small that you're never going to understand the reasons behind so many things in this life. And you're never going to understand the miracles, and you're never going to understand the whys or the hows. So in many ways, you've just got to have faith, and that faith just kind of lets that all go. That's the only way you're ever going to really be able to believe in a Father in heaven who cares for you and loves you, who's the creator of the world. But then he goes on in John, and he says this next. He says, I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, next, just Jesus kind of just lines it out. He goes, look, God is the creator, okay? So you got to understand that. And I'm his son. Together, we're the vine. We're the source of power. And as I look at this, what it kind of tells me about God and what I can kind of only really speak to as a testimony in my own life is what Jesus is saying is, look, everything good that you're ever going to have is going to come from him. And here's the thing, Jesus is kind of assuming already that God is always going to remain with you, but he says, but you have this choice that you have to make in your life. God's always going to be there for you. God's never going to leave you. God's never going to leave you behind. He's always going to be there waiting for you, but he's given you free will. So you have to choose to remain in him. And here's the thing, if you remain in him, you will bear much fruit. But let me tell you something, apart from me, you can do nothing. And here's how I've kind of put it in terms in my life. Without him, I can do some things. But with him, I can do something. You get the difference there? Without him, I can do some things. But with him, I can do something. Here's what I mean by that. There's a lot of people in life who go, you know what? I'm pretty good without God. I'm pretty successful without God. And look, here's the thing. In this life, Without him, you can do some things. You can do some things. There are plenty of people who don't have a relationship with God who do some things in this life, who have good marriages, who do good things for their community, who have great kids, who have great families, who make a ton of money. There are plenty of people in this world who without him can do some things. But here's what I've seen in my life. With him, I can do something that matters. I'm an okay dad. But with him and the lessons that he has given me, just my opinion, maybe my wife's if she'll say amen, I'm a really good dad. God makes me a great dad, right, honey? Oh, yeah. With him, though, I'm so much better. Like, I could probably be an okay husband. Like, I could be a good husband. Let me tell you, there have been so many things that I've improved on, that I've changed, that have transformed my life. Because with him and the lessons he has given me, the things he has taught me in life and in the word, that have made me a better husband than I could have ever been without him. The leader that I am today, I'm an okay leader. But man, when I rely on him, when I come to him for wisdom and strength and endurance, he makes me the pastor that I am. He makes me the leader that I am. Without him, I could do some things and I could accomplish things and I could be okay. But man, with him, I do things that matter. With him, I'm able to have great, awesome opportunities and experiences like we just had this morning with the Burgess family. It's with him that I have had some the best experiences in my life. Every great mile marker, the things that I'm proud of, the things that I hold on to, the things that are story worthy that I tell other people, the source has always been him, not me. So here's the thing in your life is you're thinking about, you know, I want to believe, but I've got this hang up. Well, here's the thing. You've got to choose to remain in him. You've got to choose to recognize him as the creator in your life. You've got to choose to have a relationship with him and believe in him and have faith in him, because without him, you will be able to do some things. But with him, let me tell you, there are opportunities and plans waiting for you that are something big, something important. I think like the Burgess family this morning, this just speaks truth to it. Just what God has done in their life and the few short years that they've been a part of Anchored Hope Church, the way that God has moved and worked in their life through our church family and through their faith. I mean, it's amazing if you knew their entire story, what God has done. Because through him, they have been able to do something, something important, something big, something that's going to have a legacy that's worth telling. And many of you in this room, you know exactly what I'm talking about. That without God, you could do nothing. You would be nothing. You would only be able to do some things. But with him, you can do something. Something that's worth passing on to your future family. Something that's worth sharing with other people. Something that's worth being proud about. And it's come from him. Now, let's be good stewards of this. Well, let me finish this. So I'm kind of building this sentence, right? So God is a good father who is too magnificent. God is a good father who is just too magnificent. But he is a good father willing to do something in our life. But let's be good stewards of the scripture and let's keep reading. Because if I didn't do this, you know, I could have been that cheap pastor who just, you know, cut it off there because it proved my point. But let's continue to read, okay? So if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. There goes the whole sermon, right? I just said he's not an on-demand God. I just said that he's not there to give us what we want. And then Jesus says something like this. See, I should have just shut it off and to prove my point, and then only the smart ones in the room would have finished this verse later on and properly exegeted their passage, right? So if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. However, let's be really good exegeters here. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit and showing yourselves to be my disciples. Now, Jesus said almost the exact same thing, the chapter before in John 14. He says, and I will do whatever you ask in my name. There it is again. But here, catch this. So that my Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. But let me explain to you what that really means and what Jesus is really saying. He's not saying, okay, so the magic password is in my name. So in Jesus' name, get me a date to prom, okay? In Jesus' name, let me win the lottery. In Jesus' name, pray that my wife won't kill me when she finds out, okay? In Jesus' name. I said, in Jesus' name. So that means it's going to happen, right? No, that's not what it means. Here's what this means. I will do whatever you ask in my name so that my Father may be glorified in it. Here's what Jesus is saying. He's saying, here's the key, okay? My God has a master game plan here. My God has a will. My God has desires. My God has things that he wants to see done. And he's got his own agenda. And he's got his plans and purposes. And here's the cool thing. If you pray and what you want is in line with what he wants, you'll get it. If you pray and what he wants is what you want is in line with what he wants and it brings him the glory, then you go for it. And man, he will be so on board because he has just been waiting for you to be on board with what he is on board with. And he will bless it and he will give it to you because it's what he wanted too. But here's the thing. If he says no, or not right now, it's because it wasn't what he wanted right now. It's because it wasn't in his time. It's because what you want doesn't match up with what he wants. And so you've got to understand that he's got plans and purposes that, again, are too magnificent and better than you could ever come up with. And so you've got to be willing to let that go. You can pray and ask for whatever you want. Give it up to God. But here's the thing. When he says no, you've got to be okay with a no. When he says, hold on, you've got to be okay with a hold on. When he says, not that, this, then you've got to be okay with that. Because the only way we get what we want is if it also matches with what he wants. Now, we went through this for many years when we were looking for buildings and stuff here at the church. You know, over the last 6 years, there's probably been about 4 properties or buildings that we thought, that's going to be our church. That's going to be our home. That's what's going to be what works out. And guess what? None of them worked out. This is the one that worked out. And, you know, there were so many times that very easily we could have been discouraged, you know? Or what we could have been mainly focused on is, God, get us out of Bonfils, you know? Because it's always a struggle and we always have to sit up and tear down and it's just uncomfortable. So, God, make us comfortable. Get us out of Bonfils and give us a home. But it's not what our prayer was. Our prayer was, God, do what's best so that we can reach more people. God, give us the right place. And I mean, maybe I'm just speaking for myself, but I think the whole leadership team and the people who have been with us from the very beginning, we had peace in that. And every time a door closed, we were still so hopeful and we were still so positive because we're like, you know what? If God said no, it's because he has something better for us. It's because it's not no, it's just not right now. And God still has a plan for us. And we were still faithful. We still saved. We still gave. We still did everything that we were supposed to do. We didn't skip a beat, no matter what discouraging thing came our way. Because we believed that God had something for us. And so we just kept praying, God, give us what we're supposed to have. And he did. And it's when we prayed for this place that it matched up, that this was the place that he wanted us to have. And when we asked for it, he gave it to us. And I mean, some of us, we prayed hard about this place. We prayed hard about having a church home. And he gave it to us because it matched up with what he wanted as well. So here's the thing. God is a good father who is too magnificent to be a puppet to us. Here's what I would say to you. If your hang up is, I want to believe, but God didn't do, won't do, fill in the blank, won't do what I want. Didn't do what I want. But here's the thing. God is a magnificent God who is too big for you to ever completely and fully understand. And his ways are greater. And to argue with him or try to debate with him or try to understand how a good father, how a creator, how a loving God could do any of these things that are awful in the world, you're barking up the wrong tree and you're going down a rabbit hole that will never give you any answers. But I can tell you this, mainly because of a testimony in my life that he is a good father. And here's the thing, if you ever doubt that, or if you haven't seen it in your own life, here's the source that you can always return to know that this is true, is that there was a time where God looked down on us and could have decided to be done with this, to reboot the system, to start over again, to be completely finished. But you know what? God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to this earth. And he decided to allow him to die for you and I so that we could have a relationship with him. Because he decided, when he didn't have to remain in us, despite the fact that he knew that so many would not remain in him. He decided to draw himself even closer to us, knowing that the meat, that the vegetables would try their best to argue with the Creator and try to tell him how he needed to do his job. But despite all that, he still showed how good of a father he was, because he gave us the final sacrifice that needed to be had so that we could be closer to him and be free from our sin. He is a good father, and he wants to bless your life. But here's the thing, he will not be a puppet to you. And he's not your celestial sugar daddy. He is not your cosmic Coke machine. He is not a genie in a bottle. He is here to serve himself, and he created us to serve him. And he has opportunities and experiences waiting for you that will be a blessing to your life. But you've got to pursue what he wants over what you want. Because what you want most of the time doesn't last, isn't important. They are just some things. But with him, we can do something. Something that creates change. Something that affects other people's lives. Something that's more important and bigger than ourselves. Something that lasts. Something that expresses itself in eternity and heaven. That's his primary purpose. That's his goal. That's the reason we were created. So if that's your hang-up this morning, I hope that gives you a different view of God, because you've got to wrap around your mind around a different kind of God, because an on-demand God doesn't exist. And the God that you want in your head, the God that takes care of everything and is a genie and is like Bruce Almighty and hits yes to every single prayer request and gives everybody what they really want, that God just doesn't exist. That's just a movie. That's a fairy tale. But here's the thing, what he actually has for us is so much better than that anyway. But you'll never understand that, because he's just too magnificent. Let me pray for you this morning. God, this morning, I know there are so many people we know, there are people here today. I know I've been there myself, God, where there have been times where I've struggled with believing in a God because bad things have happened to me, or I haven't had the same blessings as somebody else, or I've had hangups. And God, right now, honestly, truly, the bottom line is we're upset because God didn't give us what we want. And God, truth be told, that's a selfish desire in our hearts. That's selfishness, and that's, by your definition, sin in our life, where we want you to be a puppet for us. We want you to serve us. But God, that's not the reason you exist. We exist to serve you. You're the creator, and we are the created. You're the potter, and we're the clay. So God, this morning, would you just speak to our hearts? And God, this morning, if any of us this morning, we have this hang-up in our hearts and in our minds that's keeping us from believing in you because we haven't gotten what we want, will you forgive us of our selfishness? Will you help us to be able to follow a God and love a God back who we can't fully wrap our head around? And then will you, God, begin to pour into us and allow us to have the faith to be able to follow you, to follow your ways, to be more trusting of you? And God, I believe that what we would all see in our lives is that instead of being alone and trying to do this thing called life on our own where we can only do some things, you would be doing something in our life that mattered. Something in our life that transformed us. Something in our life that left a legacy and that impacted more than just us, but our community and our families, our country, God, the world. Would you begin to do that in us so that we could have a life that's worth living, that we would have a life with purpose, God? Because you are a magnificent God. And there's been so many stories just seen here today through the people that we've honored and we've told their story of the things that you're doing in their life. And there's so many more that you want to bless and that you want to encourage. But God, it's got to be what you want, and it's got to be fitting within your plans. And so God, will you help us to have the patience to wait for those plans? When a door shuts, will you help us to have the hope and the faith to be able to go, you know what, it's because God has something better for me in my life. He has plans and purposes for me. He's got something that he's calling me to do. I just have to have faith. I just have to hold on. God, I thank you for for what you've done in my life. And I thank you for when the times that I've hung on to you and I've believed in you and I haven't turned my back on you, that you've still seen me through. And God, I want to see that for every single family, every single person here at Anchored Hope Church. So God, will you begin to do that with us this week? We begin to speak that life into us. In your name we pray. Amen.